This is Selling It Like It Is. And now, here's your host, Stefan Lubinsky.
All right. Well, this is Stefan Lubinsky, and you are joining us for another edition of Selling It Like It Is, and you're in for a treat today. With me is somebody that has been a big part of my sales success, although he doesn't know it. Author, speaker, sales guru, Bob Burke is with us today. And for those of you that are not big fans and already know who Bob is, let me just take a couple seconds and share with you a little bit about Bob. Bob shares his information on topics vital to the success of today's business person. He speaks for corporations and associations internationally, including Fortune 500 companies, franchises, and direct sales organizations. He regularly addresses audiences anywhere from 50 to 16,000, sharing the platform with notables including today's top thought leaders, broadcast personalities, Olympic athletes, government leaders including cabinet secretaries, and a former United States president. He's perhaps best known for his book, Endless Referrals, Network Your Everyday Contacts into Sales, which has thus far sold well over 175,000 copies and still going strong. His newest book, co-authored with John David Mann, is entitled The Go-Giver, a business parable that both touches hearts and builds bigger bank accounts. It's shot to number 6 on the Wall Street Journal Business Bestsellers list just 3 weeks after its release. It's also Bob's fourth book to the top 100,000 mark in sales. Bob is a staunch advocate, supporter, and defender of the free enterprise system, believing that the amount of money one makes is directly proportional to how many people they serve. He currently serves on the board of directors for Safe Harbor, which is the Humane Society of Jupiter, Florida. And today, we're going to touch on much of what I just said. Bob, welcome.
Hey, thank you so much, Stefan. You're a great guy. I appreciate you having me on. By the way, you were kind enough to cite me earlier as a sales guru, but that's definitely your words, because I would never ever refer to myself as a guru of any kind, especially when it comes to sales. I'm a student and continue to be a student, and I think that's one of the best things that we can that we can all do, because there's so many people out there that have just really great information on sales that I know I learn from every day and every time I pick up one of their books or pick up a CD or listen to them live. So I thank you for having me on, and as we talk about some of these things today, you know, I just don't want anyone to think that they're listening to, you know, someone with all the answers, because I certainly don't have them all.
Bob, I got to tell you, I think it's your humbleness that makes you a guru, maybe better than the other gurus, and I so appreciate that you're so humble to say that. The truth is, though, that because you have the right questions, because you're ever the student, it actually makes you maybe one of the best gurus out there. So I'm not going to let you on my show shuck that great crown that I'm putting on you, because you really earned it. Listen, really quickly, I know that we've got a book I want to get to, because it's an unbelievable book, The Go-Giver, that's a bestseller right now. But I want to go back and just very quickly touch on some of the things that were big changers in my sales career, and they started with a gift that was given to me, and that gift was the book Endless Referrals that you've sold now almost 200,000 copies of. Endless Referrals was a big book for me, and I think for a lot of people, because for the first time it wasn't 7 steps to and follow these exact strategies. It was really about a mindset that you had to change and really understand. Talk to me a little bit about what the impact for some people has been with Endless Referrals. And let me just tee it up for you. At the end of the day, what became central to my sales career and central to when I would speak to other people about sales was the concept of know, like, and trust. And just to say your quote, all things being equal, people do business with and refer business to people they know, like, and trust. So if you can just share a few minutes about Endless Referrals and that quote.
Well, really, that's all it is. I mean, that's the basic premise from which everything in the book develops. It's really nothing more than being able to take our focus off ourselves and understand that the key is to add value to the lives of others, which is really what John David Mann and I talk about in the parable, the business fable, The Go-Giver, which is just a little bit more conceptual in nature, whereas Endless Referrals is is a bit more how-to. But it's really nothing more than that. See, there's really, people get into business, and a lot of times they get into a certain business because they really have a great belief in their products or services, the skill set they bring. They realize they intuitively realize the value that they can bring to other people by selling them their products and services. The challenge is they just don't like to sell. They don't like the idea of selling. And really, I wrote that book, Endless Referrals, just to help the people who really, you know, had that kind of feeling about the process, that they needed a way to be able to feel a little better about it, to be able to be more comfortable with the process of selling. You know, it's interesting because you take the word sell, and my awesome co-author of Endless, The Go-Giver, John David Mann, did a search to find the root of the word sell. And he traced it back to the old English root word selan. And selan means to give. So when you sell, you give. Now, what do you give? Well, you give value. You give service. I remember early in my sales career, as I was just starting to really come around and be productive, one of the older gentleman at the company where I was working at the time, and he was just about to retire, just a great, great guy. And he took me aside and he said, Berg, if you want to make a lot of money in sales, if you want to make a lot of money in business, he said, don't have making money as your target. Have serving others as your target. And then he said, if you hit the target, you'll get a reward. That reward will be money, and you can do with that money whatever you'd like. But the money itself is not the target, it's just the reward for hitting the target. The target is service. The target is serving others. And he said, you know, keep your priorities straight. And I think that when we do keep our priorities straight and we understand and we recognize that the key is to serve others and to add value to the lives of others, that's when we're going to relax. We're going to be what we call other focused instead of I focused or me focused. And when we can do that, that's when we're going to really hit a home run when it comes to sales. And that's really what Endless Referrals is about. Endless Referrals just takes you through the process of doing it, because it's not enough just to know that's what you need to do. We also need to know how to do it. You know, it's not enough just to say, well, you know, focus on the other person and ask them great questions that they're going to feel great about answering. We provide those questions to make it easier to be able to go through that process.
And I got to tell you, for anybody listening, if you haven't read the book, please go out and get Endless Referrals, and it'll make a very big difference to your life. I mean, I have always been in sales, and people will say, oh, you were born for... There are certain of us that have to actually fight against that. There are certain of us that are just verbose, and we're very comfortable speaking, and we happen to sell in all that we do, in whatever it is. If I'm telling somebody that, you know, do you want me to go get you a Coke, I'm selling them. But the fact is that that people like me who are really natural at sales actually have to fight against that to a certain extent to be successful, because nobody likes to be sold, to borrow from Jeffrey Gittimer. Nobody likes to be sold, but people love to buy. There's one point on Endless Referrals that I'm going to take issue with. And that is, you wrote, all things being equal, people will do business with and refer business to those people they know and can trust. And I want to take issue with all things being equal, because I've looked back over a relatively young life. I'm 38 in sales, and I remember when I was in software sales and enterprise sales, there were some deals that were lost. And when we look back, when we were a young company and ROI wasn't even an issue, meaning to land the Fortune 100 client, we were willing to almost lose money, like a loss leader. So we knew that there was no way the competitor could compete on price. We knew we had all the functions and features, and we didn't win that deal. And it turned out months later that we looked back and found out that the purchasing manager actually had worked years before with the salesperson of the competitor. They had worked together at 3M for many years. They were friends. And so even though we were basically cutting a deal that we knew could not be beat because we weren't going to make money on the deal went elsewhere, and I assure you it really wasn't based on return. It was based on that relationship. And so I would argue that the power of know, like, and trust actually will be the trump card that can defeat all things being equal, that price and benefit and feature, the product could be inferior if the relationship is superior. What do you think about that?
Well, I the reason I take issue with that is because, you know, we can, semantics comes into play a little bit. The fact is, there was a reason that that person, that purchasing manager, despite certain things not being equal, he thought it was equal enough that it was still worth his while. Nobody, out of vested self-interest, nobody is going to choose to do business with a product that is so inferior that it's going to hurt their own business. So if he really felt, you know, unless there was something going on, and I don't know the person and I don't know the situation, but unless there was something going on that would cause him to intentionally sabotage his own company, there is no way that he would knowingly do business with a company that supplied an inferior product or was in some way going to hurt his company. So
I think that's a very fair response. I think that's a fair response. I think that we didn't feel that it was equal, right, because there's, you know, on the price and the feature and benefit. But, of course, we're a little bit too close to that because it's our product and pricing and so forth. But I think you make a very valid point. In his mind, obviously, if they weren't close enough, then there's no way that, that even though they were friends, that he would put his own job or company or success in jeopardy, and I think that's fair. I just merely wanted to point out that I think the power of friendship and the power of being liked people should really understand that it's...
I agree with you on that, and we could even say power. Equal or close to equal.
Yeah.
But there's that, you know, there's that certain point. I used the analogy that years ago there was a dry cleaning company in my town who, you know, I knew them, I liked them, I trusted them as human beings very much, but they, you know, basically came close to ruining my clothes every time I gave it to them. So despite my positive feelings personally, I just couldn't justify doing business with them.
Sure.
So, you know, I mean, I think semantics comes into play. But, yeah, I mean, being equal or close to equal, and I mean, the relationship aspect is so strong, I agree with you, that if there's any way that a person can justify doing business with that person they know, like, and trust, that person's going to get the business.
That's it. That's it. And I want to get into GoGiver, but really quickly, I want to leave everybody with one last big point for me that I took away from that, and it was a particular sentence. And one of the things that you touched on earlier when you were describing the book was that it really is a how-to, and you tee up the actual questions so that, you know, don't think for yourself. Just do what Bob's saying. Go out and try it, and you'll see. And one of those sentences for me that made a big difference is, how can I know if somebody that I'm speaking to is a good prospect for you? And I put it in my own language, but ultimately, in going and networking, if you can't figure out anything else to say, those of you listening, if all you do is ask them, how would I know who a good prospect is for you? Trust me, that is a conversation that is going to take off. It's going to start off on the right foot. They're going to be completely engaged because they're talking about them and their business and who. And it's a good and intelligent question. So I want to thank you for that because that made networking for me very successful.
Well, my pleasure. And what it does is it forces you, in a sense, to take the focus off yourself and put it on the other person. And the neat thing, what that one question does, is by the nature of the question, it causes that person to respond in a way that you truly can add value to their life. Now, what you were saying earlier about, you know, that I give you the scripts, the words, and so forth, absolutely. And at the same time, I encourage people to do what you did, put it in your own language, because I'm going to give you in the book the principles to use and the basic context to use. But what I want you to do when you read the book is adapt, don't adopt, because you're you. And what you need to be is the most authentic and best genuine you that you can be. And so you'll take a lot of this teaching in the book and you'll put it into your own vernacular. You'll say it the way that it would make sense for you.
And even though I said it was my last point, I have one more, and I can't help it, but I'm a fan of the book. And the last takeaway that I want people to, that was really useful for me, and I like little tools, whether they're little mental notes or little tools. Here's one that was really great for me teaching other people. For me, cold calling was really never a painful experience. I didn't really get the amount of anxiousness or angst or the butterflies in my stomach because I really didn't care if the person on the other end of the phone was interested or not. But in teaching other people, when I had a sales team or if I was speaking from the stage, you had a great, great tool. And it was putting a small dollar value on failure. And the example you give in Endless Referrals is, imagine if for every 100 calls you make, somewhere in that 100 calls you're going to make 4 sales. And imagine if those sales are valued at $600. So we know that if 100 calls yields $2,400, we could also say that each call is worth $24. And it's amazing to see the light go on and the recognition in the eyes when people realize this. And it's a fine trick. Nothing has changed. It's the same phone call. But yet when they're able to say, this call is going to make me $24 instead of, oh, I hope this works. I hope this works. Or he doesn't like me or she doesn't like me. It's not going well.
It allows you to position it from failure to success. And I actually learned that from, and I cited it in the book, but I learned that from Tom Hopkins in his classic, How to Master the Art of Selling. And when I first learned that from Tom, it really gave me a lot of confidence because I'm a big believer in building on your small successes. And I would rather see a call result in a, you know, as you mentioned, $24 sale, even if it wasn't really a sale, than to look at everything as a, you know, just a success or a failure. So it was really something that helped me a lot, and it's just one of the many things I got to learn from people like Tom Hopkins and Zig Ziglar and Brian Tracy and you know, some of these great people whose wisdom we can really tap into.
Let's talk about The Go-Giver, your latest book. Tell me what, well, first of all, let me tell people that haven't gone out and gotten this book, and I know a lot of people are. I had to special order mine because it was sold out at the bookstore here in Austin. The Go-Giver is, I will tell you, it's a fast read, but it doesn't, that is not to mean that it is not a terribly important read. In fact, when I was talking to you earlier, I likened it to Tuesdays with Morrie. Tuesdays with Morrie is not a complicated long read. I feel it was a terribly impactful book. It was very important. It's a book that I'll read once or twice a year. I'm going to say The Go-Giver is exactly like that. Extremely powerful, yet very easy to digest, very easy to read, and something that you probably want to go back and read once or twice or three times, or once a quarter or whatever it is, as reminders. Tell me, what was the genesis of creating this book?
Well, John David Mann, my excellent co-author and really the master storyteller, the person who made these characters come alive, he and I wanted to sort of take the basic principles and lessons of endless referrals and put it into story form, because we know that parables or business fables are very popular now. I love reading them, and I know John does too, and a lot of people do. You know, you pick them up, it's a quick plane ride and so forth, and there's some great ones out there. And, you know, we wanted to see, could we take the principles of endless referrals and put them together in a story? And really what we did is we just sort of sat around and said, okay, what if these people did this and these people were this, and kind of took some composites of different people we knew and based some characters on other people we knew sprinkled it with real life situations. I mean, although it is a fable, it's filled with things that really happened. Although the actual story itself with Joe and the thing that happened at the end did not. But throughout the examples throughout are things that have happened. And really just put it together in story form. And it was a real pleasure to work with John on this. I mean, we did it by phone and email the whole way. He lives up in Massachusetts and I live in Florida. And it was really a pleasure to work on with him. He was really, though, as I said, the storyteller for me to, you know, I'm a how-to author, so I write in terms of step one, step two, step three, but the guy can weave a tale, and so it really worked out well.
Well, let's tell everybody a little bit about it. This is the story of a young go-getter that Joe. Mm-hmm. Who is finding his way. He's a little bit of pressure and desperation is on in terms of having to meet his quota, something that everybody in sales has faced, something that's perhaps becoming even more difficult these days, given that spending across the board has been cut and so on and so forth. So there's lots of salespeople feeling this pressure. And Joe is introduced to somebody who we might describe as a sage or a bit mm-hmm. of a Sherpa, who shares with him some of these laws. Talk to me a little bit about the five laws.
Sure. The Pindar, who's the main mentor in the story, introduces Joe to a bunch of other people who have also at times learned from this person, which is, you know, so you see that kind of same theme in various fables. And he learns five laws that, when these laws are taken together, result in what John and I call stratospheric success. And any one of the laws, any one or two of them, they'll all work individually. But by doing only one or two, you'll maybe realize 5 inches of success on the 36-inch yardstick. And so you want to combine, you want to use them, you want to utilize them in conjunction with each other, because that's where the power really comes. And the first law is the law of value. And the law of value simply says that your true worth is determined by how much more you give in value than you take in payment. Now, at first, this sounds kind of counterintuitive, because how do you give more in value than you take in payment and not go out of business? I mean, it sounds like one of those nicey-nice type of things that, you know, really, how does it work in real life? But to understand this, we simply need to understand, Stefan, the difference between price and value. And price is a dollar amount. It's a dollar figure. Value, on the other hand, is the relative worth or desirability of a thing to the end user. In other words, what is it about this thing, this product, this service, this concept, this idea that gives it such worth or value to another person that they'll gladly exchange their money for it and feel good about it?
In other words, the saying is that if somebody buys something from you, they should feel as if they got the better end of the deal, that which they got out of it is greatly more than that which they paid, yeah?
Absolutely. And I use the example sometimes of hiring an accountant to do your tax returns, and they charge you $1,000, which is just the price, the fee or the price, but they save you $4,000. They save you 30 hours of grunt work it would take, and they give you the security of knowing it was done correctly. Well, while the price might have been $1,000, the value you received was well over $4,000, and yet that accountant made a nice profit. And so that's a real, it's a real win-win, and that's the kind of relationship we want to have with anyone with whom we do business. I love the saying by Wallace D. Waddles in his classic 1910 book, The Science of Getting Rich. He says, give every person more in what he called use value than you take from them in cash value. That way, you're adding to the life of the world with every business transaction.
That's great. That's great. Now, the go when in just the first law, by the way, is where we really start the five laws of stratospheric success, is where we really get a sense of the go giver. In fact, I really, as I was making my way through this book, I thought this book could have been written something like The Opposite Effect, because I really got the sense that almost each one of these laws, Joe was having to learn the opposite of what he was already doing, what many of us already do. In each one of these laws. So rather than trying to get as much value from people, you talked about this in endless referrals and networking, in that very sentence that I said, how do I find out if a prospect is good for you? So the idea is the more that you give, the more you're going to receive. But each one of these laws is a little bit counterintuitive. Tell me a little bit about the law of compensation and how that was a little bit different than you might think it is.
Yeah, and John and I call these contrarian laws, because they're just a little bit different than what we might think. And by the way, if I may, just before I talk about law number two, we talk about, go giver, and people ask, and it's a good question. It's really a question I should have foretold people would ask, and I didn't even think of it, but it's a good question. It deserves to be answered. They say, you and John call this book The Go Giver, and, Joe at the beginning of the book is called a frustrated go getter. Are you and John saying that being a go getter is a bad thing? And the answer is absolutely not. Being a go getter is a great thing. In fact, there's no significant difference. There's no natural division between a go-getter and a go-giver. Many go-getters are also go-givers, and every go-giver, by the very nature of what a go-giver is a go-getter. The key is, see, the opposite of a go-giver is not a go-getter. The opposite of a go-giver is a go-taker, that person who feels almost entitled, if you will, to take, without having added value to the process. Now, at the beginning of the book, indeed, Joe was a go-getter, but he had the heart of a go-taker. As he met the different characters, as he met the different mentors, and as he embraced their information, as he applied the information, because remember, the one condition for mentorship was he had to actually apply each law that night before he went to sleep. And as he did this, he transformed beautifully from a guy who was still a go-getter. He was still a person of action, a person who got things done, which is important. But now he operated with the heart of a go-giver, and that's what made all the difference. Does that make sense?
It does. And for our listeners, I want to just highlight the fact that the way in this which this book was written is really powerful, because we discover with Joe the lesson that's being taught to him. I think there's a tremendous power in that, in that we as the reader, we unearth what the lesson is that's trying to be taught to us, in the same way that Joe does, and at the same time. And there's a big difference between somebody writing a book and saying, listen, here are the five laws that you need to know. Okay? So know them, write them, memorize them, go do them. Here it's uncover, unearth it for yourself, and you discover it. The next part of the book is right after you've done that with Joe and unearthed it, because Joe now has to put it into practice, you now get to witness him put that lesson into action in very real settings that each one of us finds ourselves in. So not only does it reinforce it, but for those of us who might even struggle, and I don't think there is that struggle, but for those of us that might struggle to say, okay, but now I get it, but how do I do it? You actually get to watch Joe do it. And so when you put those two things together, I find this to be an extremely powerful way to understand it and then to feel empowered that you too can go and do it, rather than kind of read it and say that was a good book and put it back on the shelf.
Well, thank you. I appreciate your saying that. Thank you.
So one of the other things, and listen, we obviously could spend hours and hours, and you do on the stage spend hours and hours teaching these kinds of things, but what I would like to do is highlight the importance of GoGiver and share some of these lessons here on Selling It Like It Is on the Small Business American Network with my listeners. One of the things that I want to ask you, and kind of a tough question a little bit, it's definitely a feel-good book. There's no doubt about that. There's a sentence in the book I want you to clarify or give me a better understanding, and that is, and I think that it's under the second law of compensation,
mm-hmm.
and it says making the decision to be rich, and then the rest is how it's played out. And I'm paraphrasing there, but that's the notes that I took. And I think that this was when it was, it might have been Nicole in this part of the story teaching Joe. But effectively it was saying, listen, the decision to become rich is in your mind. And the rest is kind of how it plays out. Now, there are books like The Secret, and there's all kinds of, you know, whether you go back to Napoleon Hill. But this idea that you can just, and for salespeople listening that are struggling right now, I don't want it to come across as this slap in the face that says, so listen, guys, you know, the reason that you're not successful right now is you just haven't put in your mind that you want to be wealthy or that you want to be successful. So give me a little dose of reality to that kind of, you know, mental quality of putting
sure.
in your mind.
Can be right. Oh, yeah. Well, nowhere in the book, nowhere do we say that getting wealthy, being successful, however you want to say it, is just a matter of thought. Thinking is one aspect. You know, you've got to think it. You know, you can take all the action in the world, but if you're thinking as though you're poor, if you're thinking as though you're unsuccessful, as you're thinking though as though everything's going to go wrong, well, all the action in the world is just going to get you negative results. So no, you have to have the thought process. Nicole was saying that she was brought up with what we call, John calls this the treacherous dichotomy, and I think that's a brilliant way of saying it, and that is sort of the unnecessary use of the word or. For instance, do you want to be wealthy or happy, as though it's a choice between the two? You can only have one or the other. Are you a giver or a receiver? Are you the nice guy or nice gal, or do you finish first? And what she was saying is that the first thing she had to discover was that it was not an either or. You could be both. And she looked at people as she was explaining to Joe the law of compensation, which, by the way, says that your income is determined by how many people you serve and how well you serve them. What she was explaining to Joe was she always wondered when she was a kid why, you know, the people who, you know, did good things didn't necessarily make a lot of money. And other people, you know, who maybe were athletes or musicians or you know, famous musicians or doctors or what have you, why they made a lot of money. And one of the things she talked about, and one of the things she explained to Joe, was it's not just a matter of adding value. A lot of people in life add a lot of value just by the nature of what they do. But making money is also a matter of reach. It's also a matter of reaching a significant amount of people. A significant number of people. So in no way do we ever in this book paint a picture that it's just a matter of thinking it's also a matter of action. Remember, the key to mentorship, again, was that Joe had to what? He had to apply every law that very day. No exceptions, no excuses.
That makes sense. But you do have to have the right mental attitude.
That's the base. The base is...
The
base is you have to have the right mental attitude. But from there, then you've got to go out and work it. you've got to go out and make it happen. You've got to be a go-getter as well as a go-giver.
You know, I think the most important lessons that Nicole touched on was actually the concept of sales as service. And I don't think a lot of people in the sales business necessarily think of themselves as in the service business. Now, I have the great privilege of growing up in the service business, in the restaurant business from 13 to 25.
Mm.
And so my entire understanding of the business world or of relationships or whatever was really rooted in the service industry. And so I've always understood, not because I'm any bright guy, just because of my background, that sales is service. And I think it's really important for salespeople listening to understand you're in the service industry and sales is a service. And the more you serve versus sell, then ultimately, of course, the more you will sell, the more that you will
sure.
get those benefits. So I learned a lot from Nicole's part of the story. Once again, we're talking with Bob Berg, the author of The Go-Giver, here on Selling It Like It Is on the Small Biz America Network. Bob, where can people get The Go-Giver?
Well, if they'd like, they can get it in any of their local booksellers, Barnes & Noble and Borders, from what I understand. Still have pretty significant displays up there. They can also get it online at Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com. If they go to our website, they can either go to thegogiver.com or they can go to www.burg.com. At either one of those sites, there's a graphic where they can click on the graphic and get a free download of Chapter 1 to see first if they like the book, if they like the story, and then if they do, they can either click right through and get it online, or they can go to their local bookseller.
I was telling Bob at the beginning that I listen to most of my books. My ADD is through the roof, and I end up skimming books, but The Go-Giver is one of those books that you enjoy reading every page because it is a story, and you are drawn in, and you are interested in following all of these lessons. So every page, it's a great book. I'm enjoying it. I wouldn't say it otherwise.
Oh, thank you.
So go out and get it. As we wrap up the show here, Bob, let me ask you, there are a lot of salespeople that are starting to feel a sense of desperation. If one of them sat down at an airport and was sitting next to you and found out that they were sitting next to the great Bob Berg and said, what piece of sage advice would you share with me that I can focus on and maybe get the most results from my effort put in for people that are feeling the sense of desperation right now, having a really hard time selling?
Well, first, thanks for the great Bob Berg credit, but I have to kind of disagree with that one, but thank you. I appreciate that. Basically, I would just, remind them that you know what? That it is tough out there and that it's not a matter of denying it. It's a matter of understanding that's the context, and you've still got to be able to work within it. Right now, there's a lot of whoever this person is who sees me at the airport, their competitors right now are going through the same thing, and their competitors are pulling back. And their competitors are pulling back because their prospects and customers and clients are pulling back. So if right now you don't pull back, but instead you say, how can I right now reach really into the depths and find a way to add even more value than before? How can I tie this value that I provide to my prospects and customers anyway, how can I tie that into their current situation? Then what you're going to find is, while it still might be tough, you're going to not only keep most of your market share, you will probably take some market share away from those who are pulling back right now. You know, I love what my friend and a real hero of mine, Ivan Meisner, founder of BNI, Business Network International, says. He says, I absolutely refuse to participate in this recession. Now, that doesn't mean that you don't understand that there is a recession going on. You understand that there is. You just refuse to participate. You're going to continue to do what you do and add value in the way that you add value and then some. And what you're going to do is you're going to gut it out, and then when things, when the market picks back up again, which it invariably does, you're going to be in a position of real strength.
That's great. Awesome. Before I let you go, just a couple of silly questions. If you weren't doing what you're doing, which is what you love and what you're great at, what would it be?
I can't even imagine right now doing anything other than what I'm doing, but I guess it would have to be maybe being in PR for the Florida Marlins baseball team or something, because I love baseball so much that that I'd want to be around the game. But that's about the only thing I can think of right now if I wasn't doing what I love to do, because, you know, that the old question comes up, you know, if you never had to work another day in your life, what would you do differently? And the fact is, nothing. You know, there's nothing I would want to change right now.
What are you reading right now? What's in your library?
Right now, I am reading. I usually read about 4 or 5 books at a time. I'm not a fast reader, by the way. Very slow reader, because I have the ADD myself, so I have to really, really concentrate, and I take a lot of notes, and I highlight a lot. So I'm very slow as far as reading goes. But right now, I'm reading Winning by Jack and Susie Welch as my main book. And I am just finding it fascinating. I've read one other book on Jack Welch, but I never actually, I did not read any of his other 2 books about him. So I'm just learning some wonderful skills of leadership and management and in business that Jack Welch is so generously teaching. And just enjoying that very much.
Well, there you have it. That's what Bob is reading. What I'm reading is Bob Berg's The Latest, The Go-Giver. You can get that at Amazon. You can go to berg.com and download the first chapter. You can go to your local bookstore and buy it. Bob, if I send you my copy, will you sign it and send it back to me?
Sure, I'd be delighted.
My guest today was Bob Berg here on the Selling It Like It Is show. He is a scholar and a gentleman, and although he's the most humble person in sales, which in and of itself is a bit of a dichotomy, I will tell you he is a guru, and because he says he's not, and because he always positions himself as a student, and because he shares, and if anybody embodies the go-giver, I pretty much thought you are Pindar. And I appreciate what you've done in my career in writing Endless Referrals. I appreciate what you've done in writing The Go-Giver. But I appreciate mostly that you practice what you preach, Bob. And here you are on my, you know, little podcast here on the Small Biz American Network, which I'm proud to be on. But you're a big deal, and you did this because you yourself are a go-giver. And I can't thank you enough.
Oh, thank you. That's very kind of you. Thank you.
And that is it. Tune in next time here on the Small Biz American Network for more sales greats on the Selling It Like It Is show with Stefan Levinsky. We will see you, and thank you so much, Bob Berg.
You've been listening to Selling It Like It Is. For more information about Stefan Levinsky or to subscribe to this podcast, visit smallbizamerica.com. Small Biz America.